Praise God. Let's open our Bible to the book of John, chapter 9. Continue to speak there about evangelism. And we will continue about the blind man, how he was healed by the Lord. And we will see clearly that this man is the one who took over the evangelism. He was healed by the Lord. And he stood firm and started to speak the truth to the people that God had led him to face with. We read from verse 24 to verse 30. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from where he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he has opened mine eyes. I should pray, God, thank you for today. Let your word give healing and relief and comfort to us. Let your word give guidance and direction in our life. In the name of Jesus, I pray, O Lord, unlock my lips and put words and verses and statements. Let the message be clear. And whatever, Lord, the purpose of sending this word to us, let your purpose prevail. I pray for fruit in our life, in the life of your church and your people, and that you take this message and make it reach those who are in need of it. O Lord, I pray for clarity. I pray for people to be saved. I pray, O Lord, that workers will be raised up. I pray for deep understanding, that every one of us will reflect on the message and reflect on our life and grasp what you really want us to do and how to behave and how to act in the present situation that we are in. O God, let your will be done in our life. We thank you, the Lord, and we bless you. This is our prayer in His name. Amen. You know, certain times evangelism will reach certain stages, and he put us in certain positions, like you have read here, where, you know, it is so disgusting and so unfruitful and so argumentative that as if you are dealing with a useless people. But you know, I admire this blind man who was healed by the Lord. Now, in the previous messages, I was thinking about the Lord was evangelizing, but today I want to speak about this man who starts to evangelize. And see here, God did not send him to evangelize to simple naive people. God has sent him to evangelize to very hard-hearted people, and he stood the test. The church should not understand that Christ, following Christ, is just a journey that we have a delight in it and we will enjoy it. It is a heartbreaking times and events, and we need to go through it, like this man has. You know, very clearly, He was dealing with a very subtle people. Hypocritic, politician, manipulative, corruptive body of a church, and he was dealing with it. And he was just a few days a believer. He already spoke, they called the parents, they want to be sure that he was born blind. The parents, we discuss it. They say to them, he was born blind, and he's orphan. But who saved him, who opened his eyes, how he did it, this we don't know. You ask him. No, they should know him to ask him again, because he already told them, they know that he's blind. So what for? No, they called him. Then again called they the man that was blind. And you know, they said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. They say about Jesus is there. He's a sinner. I'm telling you, when you evangelize, when you speak the truth, we are sinners. Now, a day, if somebody do right, they are angry with him, but somebody who do the wrong things, you find a group of people, they want to cover up. They want to say, no, no, God is forgiving, you know. They want to cover up the sin, but somebody wants to speak the truth, that this man stand for it. They consider him a sinner, and his Lord is also a sinner. The way that they thought that this man is a sinner, that they consider Jesus a sinner. When you give the word of God for certain people is just sin, you know that? For certain people they will say, how God is like that? But that's God's word. That's God's word. And many people, especially nowadays church leaders, they don't understand the word of God. They have a worldly concept of the word of God. And they want the people to be transformed to the worldly concept, and that is things that need to be corrected. This man, he was standing with God against such kind of people. And what they consider him, you know what they call him? They told him, give God the praise. What do you think? Have they considered him as a righteous man or a sinner? Huh? When they said to him, give God the praise, it means he was not giving, right? Or he is not giving the true praise, because he praised Jesus. Yeah? He gives the credit to the Lord, and they don't want this. You know when the story of Achan, when God revealed Achan, and God said that Achan is the one who has taken the devoted things, when Jeshua called him, let's read it in Jeshua chapter 7. Are you willing to be called a sinner when you evangelize the truth? We have to bear it. Jeshua chapter 7 and verse 19. When Jeshua spoke with Achan, let's read what he told him. And Jeshua said unto Achan, my son, give I praise and glory to the Lord. God of Israel, and make confession unto me, and tell me now what thou hast done, hide it not from me. He told him, give glory to the Lord. Now they told him, give praise to God. You want him to tell us the truth. Before you say Jesus is a prophet. Now, we know that the sinner. Can you change your statement, please, about him? If you will not change your statement, then you are a sinner. That's what they told him. That is indirect, because that is the way they say to him, come here, give praise to God. They know that is the statement that Jesus said to Achan. That man was considered a sinner, although he was standing with the truth. And now the day, if you will do the truth, you consider sinner. But we need to do it. You should not escape such critical crisis and critics, and they look down on us because we are telling the truth. There's a salvation of people in the heart of God, but He has endorsed the ministry, the mission to us to do it. And we have to do it in a proper way. The man answers in verse 24. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that where as I was blind, now I see. But he says to them, you are saying he is a sinner or not a sinner. Not that I don't know he's not a sinner. When you tell them, I know not. What knowledge and what is inside you, what you are speaking, that is, I have nothing for it. I know not your knowledge, but I am appearing to you with the testimony that I carry. I was blind, and now I am seeing. Now what for you are calling me again to speak and to give the praise to God? I already have given the praise to God, and already I testify that Jesus Christ who healed me. Why you still want me to change the testimony? You know, some people, they keep asking the same question to you. Keep asking the question to you, the same question. Not that they don't know your answer. They want to see if your answer has changed. Or they want to see if you're going to agree with them, or you will compromise with them in some way or another. Sinners always keep asking the same question. Not that they don't know the truth, but they want somebody to go along with their terms and conditions. And you need to be very careful, because devil wants the message of the church to be distorted. And our testimony and the preaching and the stand, we need to make it very clear. And the best way to make the standing clear is by putting it on writing, and that's very clear. They know very well what is the answer. Still they call him, they want him to, maybe he will change his answer, or he will give half that we can still go through in our ways. In verse 26, then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How often he thine eyes? Now again they ask him in John chapter 9 and verse 26. They ask him again, what did he do to thee? How often he thine eyes? They ask him, what did he do to you? And how he opened his, your eyes? Now, what is here clear in verse 26? That they admit that he was blind, and they admit that Jesus opened his eyes. Have you got the point here? They admit it. Now, how they admit it now, and they say about Jesus is a sinner. Now, they admit it, but they want something else now. What he did to you, and how he opened your eyes. Did he answer them before that or no? Did he tell them how he opened his eyes? They know it or no? They know it. Now, what for they ask again? The first thing they want to catch on Jesus was on the Sabbath. Now, the miracle that he did, it showed that he is something else from God, that he did on the Sabbath, this life cannot work. Now they want to know how he, which method Jesus used to open his eyes. Example, you know, if they say that he used the saliva, because how he spit on the ground, he gets the mud, make it a clay and put on his ear. They want to examine the matter. They may find something, either he will say it in some other way. When they will find discrepancy, they will say, oh, that's not correct. And because two times he changed his God. Or they want to find something to disqualify what Jesus did. You know, certain times, you are with certain people, and you need to be ready with the scriptures, and they are so argumentative, and you just want to leave them, right? But this man does not leave, because there's a purpose. There's a salvation of souls. We need to be very careful with our attitude and our behavior. We cannot dictate on God to whom and to which people He would send us. We need to be ready to go. Amen? And we need to be ready to stand, be firm, and even deal with hypocritical people, manipulative. But God is doing something to our ministry. What God was doing in the ministry of this blind man when he came to this party, if you will be there to witness, you will just say, you know, they are hypocrites, they are, it is useless to them. That's correct all. And it is written on an end. But you know what had happened there? Do you believe that their heart was bare open? Yes. Do you believe that their sin was exposed to them? What is in their heart? In their right? Jealousy? Pride? False finding. Have you get the point? That is where, maybe not aware of it, if that man had agreed with them like the parents, have agreed with them, that thing will not be exposed to them. Now, that is the purpose of preaching to people who are hard-headed. I am not telling you that you go to them, but if we are in that place, we have to do the proper thing, as just God is expecting from us to tell them. Because even if they are not converted at once, but their sin was laid bare by the word of God that is sharper than double air, so that penetrates and divides and make everything bare before God. He told them, I have told you. Verse 27. He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore, would ye hear it again, will you also be his disciple? You see, this is a very perfect evangelist, this man. He is doing the real work. He is not saying, I am a Christian, I am a disciple, and the meaning of disciple, I am a follower of Christ. I learn from Christ. I am a student of Christ. That is a disciple. Disciples mean a follower of somebody. And that is the best thing that we can describe ourselves. Because a Christian does not mean he is a disciple. Especially nowadays. Nowadays, a Christian does not... Christian, they are just... Because by birth or somehow they are linked with the Christ. But that does not denote they are disciples. When they will confess it, that we are a follower, that will be accountability. Have you get the point? When I present myself to certain categories of people, I don't have an answer. I'm a follower of Christ. I can't follow something else. That's the meaning of it. But a Christian, yes, Christ saved me, but how about my commitment to Him? Question. This man, he told him, I already answer you. What is your purpose in that? What is your purpose? You want to ask me again. I told you, I explained to you, but you did not hear. What is your purpose? Have you got the point here? Why they call him again? They have another purpose of it. Why? You want me to change the word of God? You want me to change my sense? You want me to agree with you? That I would not do. Father, he could follow something else. Do you want to be his disciples? You want to be a follower of him? That's the point. Right after evangelism must be discipleship. The process of discipleship should be right after evangelism. When there is no process of discipleship, then we are wasting our time and we are cheating. He told them, you want to be a disciple? You want to follow him as I am following? Welcome. Discipleship means water baptism. means mean commitment to Christ, publicly that I am follower of Him, I am learner of Him. That is discipleship. How many in the mind of people who reach people, they will reach them and disciple them, or just to reach them? Discipleship means commitment. And that's what lacks in the church of today. But we need to put it forward. Now I want to speak about discipleship. The message that God will give to the to make discipleship is based on the prevalent sin. 10 years ago, we have different message because the sin was not there. Certain sin. This time is different. 50 years ago was also different because different kind of sin. But we find sin now, 50 years ago, we don't find them, such sin now. So the commitment will be also alternate with what kind of sin that we pray there and God to place at that time. We don't need to speak about immorality if there is no, we don't need to speak about corruption of money if there is no, nothing like that, but we speak about sin and we deal with it. Verse 28. See here, this is evangelist, this is blind man. Then they reviled him. They reviled him and said, thou art his disciples. But we are more than disciples. They look on him, they insult him, they reviled him. Yeah? They told him, you are his disciples, you are his followers. But we are more than followers. Now, why they say to him that they are Moses' followers? You know, if they go really to the, if they really go to the scriptures, Moses spoke about Christ as we had described before. And Moses also, as is written in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, let's read it, about they had reviled that man, they had scorned that man, they have even killed that man because he is a follower of Christ. And they told him that we are a follower of Moses. But what I want to say, Moses followed Christ. And if they are follower of Moses, they should follow Christ also. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24 to verse 26. Say, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a reason, esteeming their reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So here Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ. It means what he when he came, Moses, he also looked forward to meet Christ. The Holy Spirit has revealed to him Christ, and he knows that Christ will come and suffer, and he accepts that also he will suffer. So if they say we are a follower of Moses, it means they have to accept Christ, because Moses accepted Christ, as we have read here in Hebrews chapter 11. Now my point here, why they say to him we are a follower of Moses, we are disciples of Moses? Have you spoken to some people and then they will tell you after a certain discussion we are committed to that way? But actually they are neither committed to what you preach, neither to that way. They just say we are committed to that way, or to that sect, or to that person, or to that church, just to escape the commitment that the word of God that was preached is through you, they want to escape it. It was just an excuse. But we need to continue again. their sin is exposed step by step. And that's why God allows us to be with certain people in certain situations. In verse, now that in verse 28, they reviled him. They spoke something bad, they scorned him, they rebuked him, they cursed him, they laughed on him, whatever. In verse 29, they further say, we know that God's second message as for this fellow, we know not from where he is. So what do you say here? They say that we know that God spoke with Moses. And you know, sometimes when you reach people, they want to know if God is speaking to you or not. But actually, that's needed. When we evangelize, we give Bible study, or we are looking to make disciples, dealing with certain sin or issues, we need God to speak to us. That's important. They say that Moses, we know God spoke to him. But this guy, we don't know, this man, we don't know from whence. So they want that, as Moses, God spoke to him and he spoke with God, they want to be sure that Jesus spoke with God and God also spoke to him. Why do they want that? They want it not because they are looking for the truth. They just want to put this reason so that they will not believe. I tell you the truth, certain people, the more you are showing yourself honest, prove to them you are honest, the more they hate you because you are already against what they are doing wrong. This guy spoke to Moses, yes, let's go. Let's go to Exodus chapter 19. Book of Exodus chapter 19 and verse 17 to 19. If the people's agenda and plans contradict what we preach, even they know that God is speaking to us, still they are not willing to surrender. And that's what they are now. Exodus chapter 19, verse 17 to 19. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nearest part of the mount. And Moses was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. Verse 19, and when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. He basically got, Moses brought the people to the mountain, and there the angel was there, and the sound of the trumpet of the angel was there. And then when the sound became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him, and all the people, they hear that God was speaking with Moses. So that's what they say, that we know that God spoke with Moses. We can read the same also in Deuteronomy, more detail, chapter 5. Sometimes we are dealing with hard-headedness. Even the people, very well they know that what you spoke is God spoke to you about it, and you spoke with God. Still, they are hard-headed, they don't want to be surrendered to God's will. Why? Because their plan is different. Does not agree with the plan of God. Christians should be followers of God. Not the reverse, not the opposite. Now the Christians, they want that God following them up. Not that they will follow God, that God should follow them. That cannot be. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5, and verse 22 to 27, That is the view that of evangelism that we as a church stand on. Such kind of people. We need to go through it so that their heart will be laid bare one day, we don't know. We stand years or decades to come until they will repent. But we need to do our part. The message is not in the air. It is shooting in the heart of the people. The Holy Spirit knows what he is doing. They might be their heart be cut by the message and hate us, but time will come, their hearts will be pricked by the message and they will love God and they love us. Amen? We need to persevere. We cannot change the message till they are changed. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 22 to 27, these words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire, the Ten Commandments, all his spoke of the cloud, and of the thick darkness with a great voice, and he added no more, and he wrote them in the two tablets of stone, and delivered them unto me. Moses sitting there, this is what God spoke, he wrote on the tablet, you hear him, the Ten Commandments, he spoke it by his mouth, he wrote it on the tablet and he gave it to me. And it came to pass, when he heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that he came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and he said, behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man and he liveth. Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us if we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore. Then we shall die. They were afraid because Moses was speaking with God and God was speaking to him. They were hearing, they were afraid that they will die. So they proposed in verse 26, for who is there of all flesh that hath hear the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and live? Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do. So they propose, you Moses, you go hear from him and come and tell us and we will do it. That's what they say. We knew God that spoke with Moses. So that we need to follow Moses because God spoke to him. Have you get the point how they are very smart to switch the scripture to avoid to be in line with the truth? That's why certain time we need to be very well versed so that we can refute every tongue with the truth of God. Did the Lord God, our Father, spoke to Jesus in the presence with the people? Let's go to the book of John, chapter 12. Because they say, we don't know this man from when. Because if God is not speaking to him as he spoke with Moses and everyone he hear it, then how he wants us to follow to be a follower of him? Even if he had to hear you. Even if you had to open your eyes. The question here, did God spoke to Jesus and Jesus spoke to God in the presence of the people and everyone here? Let us read in John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 20, verse 27 to 29. John 12, 27 to 29. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? He was praying, Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and hear it said, that is thunder. Others said, an angel spake to him. So God spoke to him. Have you got the point here? They said to Jesus, answer and say, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. So very clear now. What God did with Moses, he did it also with Jesus. When this was praying to him, "Oh Father, save me," a voice came from heaven and answered him according to his request. The people hear it. Jesus told them, "This voice comes not for my sake, but for your sake to be believing and to be saved." Let's go back to John 9. All the evidences that the people wanted, this is proved by miracles, by his pictures, whatever their desire that God would speak to Jesus as he did to Moses, it had all done well. But the people was not willing to be changed because they have other plans. They have their own will, they have their own hard-headedness and courage. They don't want to give up what they are getting from position or prestige, whatever. That's why they refuse to obey. With all this evidence in verse 30, John 9 verse 30, "The man answered and said unto them, Why herein is a marvelous thing, that he know not from whence he is, and yet he has opened mine eyes." Now the man go back to the his own testimony. Okay, you don't know from where he is. You know you are still that I was blind and he opened my eyes. Still you want to know from where he is. You don't know that he came from heaven. And he started to appeal to them. You know, certain time we need to be also again full of some passion. Yes, we need to rebuke. We need to, you know, we need to tell the things that they need. You want to follow him? You want to be his disciples? But still we need to go back to be full of compassion to them. You are seeing marvelous things. There is a good plan of God for you. What you are holding on is not the truth. You see our life. You see this what Jesus had done to me. The Lord is going to do more for you. That's why we need to pray. We need to be steadfast. We need to continue. The things that God wants us to achieve, even if it is reach that heart ache, quarrel and arguments, but God has a purpose. God has for us a mission, and He knows what He is doing. Let us be assured that we are led by the Holy Spirit, instructed by His Word, and led step by step in our ministry, in our journey, and walking with the Christ. Let's all stand. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We pray, O God, Lord, that you will, O God, we surrender our will to you, O Lord. We may have certain understanding about evangelism. We might be choosing certain people to go, but you have another way for us. Oh God, thank you for the example of this blind man who was a wonderful evangelist. Even from his first beginning, he was called to face hard people and he did not fail. Oh God, I pray that you will not fail you. Oh God, we will not fear man. I pray for courage for everyone here in the name of Jesus. I pray for boldness. I pray for no selfishness in our lives, O God, that you will prefer to go with people and harming ourselves and harm them. We pray, O Lord. We pray, O God, that as you continue to speak to us through your word, we will obey you. We will proclaim what you want us to say. O God, we thank you, Lord. As we are at your feet, O God, speak to us. Speak to us, and I pray for unity among us, that you will understand these things of yours, and we can see the battle, the critics of the present situation of the church, facing very corrupted bodies who keeping worldly principles instead of that church. So Lord, enable us and guide us, empower us with the power and authority and anointing as we are done at your feet. In Jesus' name, Amen.